Paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The stamp. The kick. It's been blocked again. How about it? It's been blocked again. He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone. It's a touchdown. And the Gators have won the game. Tyree Cleveland. How about it? I can't believe what I just saw.
Dropping back the throw. Pops and fires the ball. Over the middle. It's Dory. It's Dory. Got a touchdown. Dory got a touchdown. Oh, man. Dory's got a touchdown.
Hands it off to Harmon. He comes back.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. This is Dan.
And your boy, Jay Scott 2-5, man. We're a little bit light today, but you know, we're going to keep it going for y'all boys, man.
That's right. We've got Nick probably out for the next month due to some Florida Victoria stuff. And then Corey has got an obligation with somebody that I think will be able to tell some cool stories, and we'll get him on the show in a couple weeks, this particular person. But he's doing something special right now. So 2-5 and I are going to hold it down. 2-5, how's your weekend?
It was pretty good, man. Got to go to one of my former teammates' wedding, Fred Johnson. It was in Fort Lauderdale, so went too far to drive for me. Yeah, man, congrats to him. He's a part of the Girl Dad gang, and he had a boy already, so this is his second child, and it's a blessing, man, always welcoming somebody new into the world. So had a couple of former guys there, Martez Ivy, Jeremiah Moon, Khalif Jackson. That was like the video game gang back in the day, but it was good to see all those boys.
Who was the best on the sticks?
I would say out of all of them, probably Moon or Tez. They used to always be competing. Yeah.
Me and Fred. Did you hold it down on the sticks, or
I'm all right. I like to talk more smack than actually be good.
I thought I was good, like when I went to college, and then we would play at, like, the fraternity house or play like with friends. I'm like, you guys play a completely different game than I was ever exposed to. Really? I thought I was good at like NCAA or Madden, and it's like 42-0 at halftime. Yeah. Like, it's time to pass the sticks at that point. I'm like, Apple, brother. Apple, here you go.
For real, man. I felt the same way. I really just love it for like just the vibe to be with the boys. Y'all can sit around and talk, whether it's in person or online. That's really why I like the game. I'm not like the biggest gamer to where I need to be the best. I should be, but I just more enjoy. You know, I enjoy just the companionship of it all, but it's nice.
I got you, dude. Well, congratulations to Fred. You said it's number 2 for him?
Yep, baby, number 2 for him, baby girl. So, you know, he got his hands full now, similar to like a Nick situation. Once you get that baby number 2, dads are officially now on duty. So
you're on the clock. You always got something to do, right?
That's a fact. So big ups to him,
man. Was he wearing his Super Bowl ring?
Nah, he was not short at all.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of us would have been hating on him for sure, though. We always talking ball and just talking. There was another guy there. He played defensive back. I don't know how Fred knew him, honestly, but he played defensive back in Jacksonville out of high school, and then went to FAU, and he played against us. Yeah, we played against FAU. He went up to Martez, and he was like, yo, I can't lie, bro. You was that dude in high school. Like, we played y'all. I think he played for, like, First Coast or something like that. He's like, we played against y'all, and he's like, I just remember you pulling it, ended my whole game. I'm like, yeah. I said, I believe that. Watching the film that I watched of Tez coming out of high school, he was literally running like a receiver, laying people out. So, man, it was just good that back to go down memory lane and have some of the boys reminiscing and feeling good.
I love that, man. Love that for you. Well, congratulations to Fred. Glad you guys got to chop it up with the boys. I was up in Nashville this week, actually, for a little work. And then turned into, we do like this guys trip. I've known these guys for 30 years. And so every year we do a trip together. We were in Chicago last year, Whistler the year before. I think we're going to go back to Whistler next year, but it was up in Nashville. Always good being back with the boys, especially people you don't see all that often. We talk throughout the year, you know, pretty often, but you get to see them once a year, chop it up about old stories and all that. So won a little money on the Kentucky Derby, which was cool. Ooh. And then the company I work for has a box at Bridgestone, which is their hockey arena there. Went and saw Florence and the Machine. Do you know her?
No, I don't.
She's kind of a different act than I would normally go to. But if there's ever box seats available, you know, I'm going to find myself in that box. But saw Florence and the Machine, incredible show. She's like a folk-ish. I don't really know how to describe her music. It's a little out there at times, I'll be honest with you, but an incredible performer. And I felt bad for her because we were talking, like, how old is she? I'm like, I don't know, dude, probably late 30s, early 40s. My buddy's like, nah, dude, she's like 55 years old. We looked it up. Poor girl's 39. I'm like,
oh, my God.
Wild. They're like, there's no way. But she's an incredible performer. If you like her music, obviously, you know, go check her out. But it was a great time to be there. And then I ended the trip a little early to come back for the Lightning game. They played in game 7 here yesterday. Yes, we lost. So I'm like, man, I left my vacation early to go catch an L. But it's what it is. Great series. One of the best hockey series that I've ever seen. You had 7 games decided by 10 or by 7 total goals. Every game was decided by one. Ooh, one goal. So it was nuts yesterday. But, you know, it's off season for the Lightning, off season for the Gators. I get a little more free time back
right.
in my schedule in my life. So I'm looking forward to it. Well, we're going to try to ask the chat to throw some things our way, stuff you want us to talk about. We're going to dive in a little bit into recruiting and all of that. But before we do that, let me get two quick ad reads out of the way. First, go visit our friends over at Brunt Insurance. If you need anything that has wheels, from a car to a bicycle, no, probably not a bicycle, but a motorcycle, a scooter, a tractor trailer, a trailer for your boat. If you need boat insurance, if you need embroidery on wheels, you need that. Whatever it might be that might need insurance for property and casualty, go visit bruntinsurance.com, 954-589-2204. Again, bruntinsurance.com. You know the name, you know the guy. He's been a proud sponsor of this show for, gosh, probably 6 of the last 7 years that we've been doing this. So one time for our friends over at Brunt Insurance, Greg Brunt, 954-589-2204 and bruntinsurance.com. And then one time for our friends over at the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group. If you are looking for attorneys to represent you with any sort of property damage that you have, wind damage, leak, storm damage, whatever it might be, hurricane season is not far away. So this is a phone number that you should jot down just in case you ever need it, dealing with some of the pesky insurance companies that are out there that aren't fighting for you. They're fighting for themselves. Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group will fight for you. You can visit them at dykusburkelaw.com. That's dykusburkelaw.com. Or give them a call at 855-652-1377. Again, Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group. All right, chat, again, suggestions, anything that you want us to talk about. Let's go over a little bit about what we did last week, though. 4 episodes. We probably burnt Nick and Corey out. That's what it was. So we interviewed Speedy Jennings, the new wide receiver commit, 3-star at Dillard High School. So that was last Sunday. And then we recorded on Monday morning, dropped on Tuesday morning, our interview with John Sumrall. I thought that was a great interview. Really dove into a lot, right? He dove into where he believes that the Gators still need some talent, where he believes the offensive line currently is, what his thoughts are on quarterback battles or his lack of desire to talk about them and how meaningful that they are. He talked a lot about the linebacking group, most notably about Aaron Chiles and his ability or his desire really this offseason to really step up into that role with Myles Graham having an injury. We talked a little bit about defense. We talked a little bit about philosophy. We also talked about what we expect out of the defensive side of the ball. Is it more conservative? Is it more aggressive? Are they playing on the ball? Are they playing off the ball? So really go check that out. I thought that that was a great interview. And then Monday night had the traditional show with David Decker. I thought David Decker did a fantastic job. And really towards the end of the interview, it really turned into him opening up a lot more about what his role is, what he sees out of the wide receiver group, and what, you know, they envision this team looking like going into next year. And then on Wednesday night, we sat down with Steve Wiltfong. The Gators obviously on a hell of a run recruiting, and that's not going to stop this week, I can assure you that. So we dove into what he envisions. He talked a little bit about John Summerall. He talked a lot about Phil Trotwine and just overall what their recruiting prowess looks like. But right now the Gators sit sixth or seventh in the country in the recruiting rankings, and I think that ranking is going to rise at least a little bit, and it could rise substantially this week, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But big week for content. We appreciate all the listeners. I think we had over 50,000 people watch or listen to the podcast last week, so I appreciate that, and I appreciate you guys. Tonight, we have Ben Elsner. Ben Elsner, previously with the 3013. This is a really long monologue. Everybody's like, I don't want to hear Dan talk about this, but we're going to talk to Ben Elsner. They're like, I already watched the content, bro. We're going to chat with Ben Elsner tonight. And Ben Elsner is director of football operations. He is a bit of a savant in the industry. He graduated college, I think, 5 years ago. He worked for the 33rd team, which is a sports analytics and data firm, and recently joined the staff with John Summerall. And he's going to oversee salary cap, just the way that they construct the roster and how they're going to pay salaries and what players deserve to be paid or will be getting paid. And then doing a lot in data and AI. So I'm interested to see what they're doing with data and AI as well. So we're going to sit down with him in probably 15 minutes or so. So I know I see some questions in the chat. JLB, appreciate you for always watching. I appreciate Harrison and Florida Ray and the rest, but I thought about you earlier today because there was a blue jay in my front yard. And my mom loves birds, so I sent her a picture of the blue jay. But I immediately thought about you. So, all right. So let's get into recruiting. So this week there is a couple of potential announcements. So I'm going to start first because I think this is the order in which they're going to go in, Jordan. You can have thoughts or we can just monologue this thing out a little bit. So the first one is defensive lineman, 6 foot two and a half, 300-ish pounds, Stive Bentley Kiamaju from Coral Gables Senior High School down in Coral Gables, Florida. Right now he's ranked a three-star. He has offers from Florida, Auburn, Miami, Texas A&M, Georgia. I expect the Gators to grab his commitment. I believe that commitment is on Tuesday, if I remember correctly, but I think the Gators sit in a great spot for him. Gerald Chapman has made him a priority. He is ranked as the number 475 player in the country, number 48 defensive lineman, and the 41st best player in the state of Florida. You know much about him?
No, I don't, but I know most guys coming out of Florida and I probably got to have some talent. And honestly, at this point in the process, you got to trust what Chapman is looking at and trying to do at this point. I mean, I feel like even our backup D-lineman who came in last year was a good example of obviously what he can do. I know that was those Napier guys, but he's been working those guys out and making them get extra work for how many ever years he's been there. So I think whoever he really gets his hands on, I'm not too concerned at that D-line spot, man, because I feel like we got a gem in him and him being on our staff.
Absolutely. Appreciate you, Cody, from High Top, 9 a.m. tomorrow Eastern time. So look out for that Tuesday morning. If you're watching, listen to the pod on your car ride in, just hop online at 9 a.m. And I think the Gators are sitting in a great position there. And then tomorrow, I believe it's tomorrow afternoon or tomorrow evening, Caleb Dillard, or maybe it's Wednesday, Caleb Dillard, the safety, 6 foot two, 170 pounds out of Jenks High School in Tulsa, Oklahoma, is going to announce his commitment with Josh Newberg, friend of the program, personal friend of mine. I actually got the chance to see Josh when I was up in Nashville, got to see the On3 headquarters, got to meet, who did I meet? I got to meet Nakos, who we've had on this show. Got to meet Shannon Terry. So that was cool. But got to meet a lot of the JD Pickell. So really cool spot that they have there. But he's going to announce his commitment on Josh Newberg's On Three show. So without saying anything, I think the Gators sit in a good position to land Caleb Dillard out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. He currently, has offers from Oklahoma, Nebraska, Texas Tech, Kansas State, a number of kind of middle of the country schools, Oregon, Georgia, Miami, Penn State. So kind of a who's who of schools for Caleb Dillard. He's ranked as a three-star right now as well. Rivals has him ranked as a four-star, and in their top, 300 players, he's number 244 in the country, the number 24 safety. His ranking's being brought down right now that ESPN doesn't have him ranked. So I do expect, you know, that announcement to come any day, or pardon me, on Wednesday in potentially the Gators' favor there. And then I believe...
I'm watching this tape right now. I think he's a pretty solid dude. I'm watching this tape right now. You got some talent come out of Oklahoma now. You got to be able to watch it if them boys moving like how he moving right now. Is he looking good?
Yeah, he's a good player. I think he's one of those guys that's going to rise in the rankings pretty quickly. And obviously that ranking where he's at on that three-star, 247 has him as a three-star somewhere in the 50, I think 60 range for safeties in the country. But without an ESPN ranking, you get knocked down to a zero there. So it's pretty hard to average when you throw a zero star in there. But I think that he's a guy that, you know, when you get offered, ESPN has a small recruiting staff, right? So when you get offered by a school or you commit to a school like Florida, I think that that's when they go in and watch the tape and give you a ranking. So I'm sure he'll be, you know, four-star across the board here in the not too distant future. Gators also sit. Go ahead.
I was about to say, I think he looks pretty aggressive. I'm just watching some of the tape that he's put on. I mean, like, he's filling holes and filling gaps. I won't be surprised if he can. I don't know how well he can cover, but we can move him at nickel or put him in a box as a wheel linebacker or something, because he looked like he covered down with some attitude.
It looks like he's got some length on him too, that he could add some weight if you did want to throw him at linebacker, or I don't know about the star position either. But, you know, I know Florida's recruiting him as a safety, but he's a highly sought after guy. Florida's done a great job with his commitment out there, or with his recruitment out there. So it's a guy that they've been targeting for a long time now, even going back to the Tulane days. So excited to see where that could potentially go. Chats, let me know that there's a few other announcements. Getting to those, Elijah Hutchinson, 6'6", 255-pound offensive tackle out of North Cross School in Roanoke, Virginia. He's going to announce his commitment tomorrow night. It's between Florida and Clemson. Jordan, I'm telling you what, Phil Trotwine's putting himself on the map again here at the University of Florida. He is ranked as the number 91 overall player in the country, the number 7 offensive tackle, and the number 2 player in Virginia. And I think he's going to be the third top 10 ranked offensive lineman that the Gators get in this class. So that's tomorrow evening, I believe, tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, so we're looking forward. Good on that one. I think we'll land him, right? You got Clemson. This is what I'm looking at, 247. Clemson, Vanderbilt, Virginia Tech.
He's got offers from everywhere. I think it's between Florida and Clemson right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I see Ben in the green room. Ben, we're going to bring you on in like 2 minutes here. Just give us a thumbs up if you think we're going to land these guys. We're going to talk about two more recruits. I'm just kidding, brother. So Elijah Hutchinson, that announcement is tomorrow. And then the Gators are also sitting in a position. Hold on 1 second. Let me just pull it up here. And then we'll bring Ben on here. And then the Gators are also shaping up on running back Andrew Beard. He is going to announce his commitment over, I believe that's on Thursday. Clemson and Florida are still the two teams to beat there. So again, this is in Tennessee, I think, is involved in that one. But out of Bogart, Georgia, Prince Avenue Christian, 5'9", 195 pounds, ranked as the number 165th player in the country, number 9 running back, It looks to be a Georgia, Clemson, Florida, Tennessee battle there. So we'll see. I don't know if I would expect that one today, but again, that's a commitment worth watching. So let's see. Offensive tackle from Virginia is tomorrow at 4 p.m. The running back is at noon on Friday. So again, this is a big week for Florida Gators recruiting. Right now they sit in a prime position at positions of need and opportunities for themselves. So that's where we got with recruiting. We're going to go bring Ben Elsner on here real quick. But before we do that, one time for our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks, go visit GameTimeSidekicks.com. Use promo code STADIUM15. It'll get you 15% off of your order. It's going to keep your hot drinks hot and your cold drinks cold. So again, that is GameTimeSidekicks.com, promo code STADIUM15. And then with that, we are going to sit down with Ben Elsner, who's Florida's Director of Football Strategy, where he's going to take a look, or he's going to give us a look behind the scenes of football strategy and data, AI, salary cap, all that kind of fun. So Ben, we appreciate you for joining the show. It's a bit of a skeleton crew today.
Yeah, I've heard that that Nick is ducking me, so I'll have to run into him at some point.
That sounds about right. Nick always has an obligation whenever there's somebody that can shed some light on Nick as a person behind the scenes here. But
it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. You know, he doesn't want that smoke, I'll tell you what. Ben, want to ask, man. So we were talking a little bit about before you hopped into the green room, but just a little bit about your background. And I called you a savant because I feel like that's how the internet has kind of described you. It's, you know, you graduated college and then you immediately just kind of rose the ranks over at 33rd Team. And so I'm familiar with 33rd Team, but could you tell folks about what 33rd Team is? I know you ended as chief of staff over there.
Yeah, man. Well, I was very proud to be able to work there. So I started there when I was in college, my sophomore year of college, going to the junior year. And I got lucky. Mike Tannenbaum, who, you know, runs the company, was a UMass grad, which is where I was going to school at the time. And I threw in an application and, you know, wanted to work with people that, you know, were in and around sports. And, you know, we did a lot of great things there and I'm really proud of it. So, you know, by the end there, what we were really doing was working with NFL teams, you know, from consulting standpoint, working with former NFL general managers, head coaches, executives, players. You know, last couple months while I was there, you know, 5 or 6 months was we did the Jets head coach and GM search. I know it hasn't gone great so far, but we'll see how that goes. And then I got the privilege of working with Coach Belichick and Coach Patricia, which was, you know, a dream for me. I'm from Massachusetts, grew up a Patriots fan. And, you know, the amount of learning I had during that period of time was immense. It was a lot of pressure, but it was some of the best learning I've ever had. So, you know, had the opportunity to do all that stuff and you're really grateful for Mike Tannenbaum and Joe Banner who kind of started the 33rd Team.
So Ben, you had a great career there at 33rd Team, rose the ranks, obviously a great, you know, well-respected firm. I know Mike Tannenbaum from his time with the Dolphins, but then you come over to the University of Florida under John Summerall and what's seemingly a new title. It's not really a new role, but it's also a role that is quickly changing at the pace that college athletics is changing. So doing a little research about you and then just talking to some folks, you're responsible for some salary cap, you know, roster construction, also into data and AI. So I kind of want to split that into two parts here. With college football changing so much, talk to us a little bit about like this new role and kind of your interaction with, you know, with Nick Polk and Dave Caldwell, and I think Cole Hurd is probably involved in some capacity there. So talk to us a little bit about your role.
Yeah, I mean, it's been amazing. You know, kind of the reason why I wanted to get into it and what I saw was I always heard the stories from Mike and Joe about like the introduction of the salary cap into the NFL. And I was always a little bit jealous that they had the opportunity, like right when the salary cap kind of started, to be able to get a foothold in there. And I started to see it rise a little bit in college football and, you know, that made me eager to try to get involved in it. And just from the background of being able to work with the head coaches and general managers of the 33rd Team, I thought I was able to bring something, maybe a little bit of a unique perspective. and kind of a fresh look at things as well, right? So, you know, to me, like when you go into something that isn't fully established, you have to do two things. One, you have to come up with your own ideas and processes, but also you have to listen a ton, right? So for me, it was a great opportunity to be able to learn from Nick and Dave and, you know, everyone in this organization, but also be able to establish some things that I think are principal to an organization. So, you know, when it comes to like the salary cap stuff, like it's a whole team effort, right? Like I love the opportunity to be able to split this team into, you know, the coaches focusing on coaching and us being able to focus on making sure that they have the resources they need to be successful in the field. I've really been able to operate in that capacity since I got here. So, you know, I did have, you know, a couple opportunities and this one was the most intriguing to me. You know, I was actually here last year with Coach Napier as well. And what I saw was a brand, right? The Florida brand is special and, you know, it resonates all the way up in Massachusetts, right? Like when you see that logo, it's a little bit different. So, you know, to me being able to do that, but also, you know, come here and learn and listen and hopefully establish some things that are good principles for the organization in the future was really intriguing to me. So, you know, I've really enjoyed it, continuing to do a lot more work here and, you know, we got a long way to go. We got to win some games now.
That's a fact.
Talk to me a little bit about kind of salary cap, right? So 5-6 years ago, we weren't paying players above board, right? Mm-hmm. We're not going to talk about below board. We're not paying players above board. And then we go into NIL, and I think what the anticipation of NIL was quickly morphed into collectives. And then now we're into where schools can now pay athletes. Talk to us a little bit about kind of the last couple of years, how much that's changing. And then ultimately just kind of, I guess, figuring out what numbers are worth, what not necessarily what players are worth. I don't need to talk about specifics there, but how do you guys go about determining with the finite money that you have, how to construct that roster? Cause there's still collectives involved. And I know that there's all sorts of, you get a little mucky there.
Yeah. You know, to me, it's roster construction at its finest, right? And we're lucky to have a lot of history in roster construction, just looking at the NFL, right? And looking at college football as a whole, like what organizations have won? How have they won? How have they constructed their teams? And I think we started here with the basis of what has been successful in football in general, right? The game of football is a game of football, whether it's played in college or played in the NFL, it's still football. So, you know, what has been successful in doing that? And I take a lot, you know, having learned from Joe Banner, who's the president of the Eagles, and, you know, now being able to work with Dave, right? Like the philosophies kind of meshed together in that sense. And, you know, I looked at what was success in college football and what was success in the NFL. And then you start to look at what is roster construction and what is important to you as an organization, right? So, you know, it starts at the top, starts with Coach Summerall, starts with Dave, you know, it trickles its way down. So, It's been a unique opportunity, and I think you kind of spoke to it, Dan. Like it continues to change, right? Like on a day-to-day basis, it feels like there are some changes. You know, the new introduction of, you know, potentially upcoming for 5 for 5 and things along those lines is really unique. But agility is the most important, right? You got to be rigid in your principles, but you got to be agile to be able to fit. So, you know, to me, that's really important. And then you look at it from a holistic standpoint, right? Like one of the things that is, you know, intriguing and interesting for us, but also a difficulty is when you look at the NFL game, like either of you, anyone on that's watching or anyone can look up contracts, right? You can see what anyone is making in the NFL. That is not the case here. So you have to rely on, you know, your ability to create a market, right? The market that's created for you when it comes to the agency, but most importantly, how does that player fit into what you're doing? And that's not just on the field. It's really important for them to fit on the field, but it's also off the field too. So I think like there's been a long history of roster construction, and like we're not the first to ever do it, be the last to ever do it. But you know, looking at that can lead a lot towards what you want to do as an organization, and then rest on your principles, right? Like who do you want to be as an organization? I've learned a lot since getting here in that capacity too, just from, you know, Nick Polk's years in Atlanta and, you know, coming here with Philadelphia, you know, my background a little bit working with Joe Banner with the Eagles, like, you know, we have similar principles. I mean, you can look at how those teams are constructed or how they were constructed, and they all kind of, you know, rest on similar principles. We need tough, competitive, you know, and physically able players, right? And for the most part, like we got to build the trenches, right? This is college football. This is, you know, the same in the NFL, right? Like, defensive linemen, offensive linemen will continue to, you know, push the game forward. You need to be capable and above capable at every other position as you continue to build the roster. But, you know, trenches is super important. I don't think that's going anywhere in the game.
So outside of the trenches, who would y'all maybe prioritize next? Would it be like quarterback, or would you go more skill position?
It's really team by team, right? So, you know, we have, you know, what is hopefully shaping up to be like a high octane offense, right? I think you can see some of the things that we did this offseason and, you know, being able to retain some of the players that were here that showed who they could be last year. And, you know, hoping for their development in the future, but also being able to fit every room, you know, correctly, right? Like, our job is not to be able to build a roster for them to figure out how to put it on the field. Our job is to build the roster that they want to put on the field and can operate with. So, you know, I think it's a case by case basis. You could ask that, you know, discussion a year from now or, you know, a year prior, right? You have to look at your current roster. You have to see what's important to you overall, and then where are your needs, and then how you fill them, right? So that's one of the other, you know, parts that I imagine we will get into at some point, but there's a transfer portal, there's high school recruiting, right? So, but the most important and, you know, interesting one to me comes to retention. So again, these are young kids. They're, you know, 18 years old, 19, 20. The growth that you see in a 4 to 5 month period is ridiculous. So the ability to put together a roster that fits what the coaches want to do is most important. And that can change based on your current roster and how you feel, about the players you're about to put in the field.
What are those discussions like? And maybe you can't tell me, and I know the answer is going to probably be the head coach always makes the final decision, but you've got a couple different people there in kind of roster management, general management, kind of that world. And then you have coaches. And there's going to probably be some headbutting at times. And I would imagine that it's headbutting for the sake of the benefit of the program, right? But how do you like work through some of that friction that you might have? Or do you guys just really have to just kind of always be aligned and you guys are there to support the coaches or vice versa? Kind of how does that work in not getting yourself in trouble or spilling too much?
Yeah, I think alignment's important. I actually think it's paramount, right? Like, you can look at plenty of organizations that had correct people that were there, but the alignment wasn't. So I don't think anyone would have entered into this partnership that Dave and Coach Summerall have if they didn't have alignment to begin with. And then know there are going to be some bumps along the road, right? Sure. And those are ones that are filled with, you know, honest conversations. And then when we all agree on something, we're rowing in that direction 100%. So I don't think anyone, you know, can look at Coach Summerall or anything you guys know about Coach Summerall and know that he isn't, you know, used to or willing to have a difficult conversation. But that's football, right? Like, people are going to have opinions. People are going to have, you know, different thoughts on things, but we're all trying to do the same thing, right? Which is win football games. So however we can get there, there's no pride in authorship of whose idea it was. Let's row in the same direction once we agree on it. But yeah, let's have discussion. I think that's really important. Like, open, honest, clear discussion is going to be extremely important in everything that we do. And it's not just on like the roster construction side of it. It's everything, right? You know, every plan that we put together should have discussion. And then once we agree on it, let's go. That's the direction we're going in.
I love that.
Yeah, so I was going to also ask you, I know we were talking about trenches earlier. I think this is more of like a general question. Like, do you think it's harder to find offensive linemen or defensive linemen, like when y'all going into the process of getting things?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think the way you look at it is probably a little bit different depending on where you're getting them from. You know, part of the thing that, you know, we can get into and where a little bit my background comes into is, like, you know, the ability to do studies and look at, you know, where success has come from and where it can go to. And, you know, we've done plenty of studies looking at, you know, high school offensive linemen and their success rate and, you know, start rate, defensive linemen as well. And the same thing in the transfer portal, and then retention too. So, like, what is the growth year over year? To me, like, big bodies are hard to find, right? Like, yeah, okay. big bodies that are agile and can move in a certain way are even harder to find, right? So, you know, we're blessed to be in a place at Florida. Like, there's a lot of talent all around here. You know, we've seen it before, right? The history of Florida, you can build a team based out of Florida and win national championships. But you know, having the logo and the brand that we do, like, we can go to different places and bring in big talent. I think, you know, you can kind of look at what we've done so far in, you know, this high school class, and, you know, what we'll continue to do in the transfer portal. And it's important to have those relationships, but we can do that anywhere, right? Like, I truly, truly believe that the logo carries a lot of weight. And I'll continue to believe that. So, you know, I think anything that we can do to continue to get that logo out there and show people like who we are is important. And, you know, you're right. Like, it is hard to find offensive linemen and defensive linemen, but the most important part is once they're here, they need to get developed, right? Like, these are still children, very much children. And the reality is, like, a high percentage of them are not going to play when they first get in, right? It takes time. Mm-hmm. So having the correct developers be able to do it, like Coach Trotwine and Coach Chapman here, like, those are elite. And, you know, to me, like, if I had a kid and, you know, they were looking at where they wanted to go, and granted, I probably will never have a kid that's an offensive lineman or defensive lineman. But, if I did, like, those are two people I would want to send my kid to, right? Not just from like a development standpoint. I mean, shoot, you can talk for days about, you know, what Coach Trotwine has done with offensive linemen, Coach Chapman have done with defensive linemen, but they're also good people, right? Like, that's really important to you. Like, you're dropping your son off with, you know, people for the first time, maybe away from you, and you want people around that are going to be, you know, have their best interests at heart. So, you know, to me, like, anyone can find talent. You know, talent is out there. It's what you do with talent once you find it.
You're right. That's a fact. Yeah, I was kind of telling that to the Texas. I ran into the defensive lineman from Texas Tech when I had the spring game, and I was just telling him, like, man, you're going to get developed here. And I said, too, I added on the fact that, like, brother, one thing about Florida, you always are going to get drafted out of here as a D lineman. I'm like, just go check the history when you got time, or whoever your uncle is, tell him go check the history on Florida defensive lineman. Dudes that don't call a spade that didn't belong in the first round went first round. And I think you belong in the first round if you come here and play for 3 years. And they was all smiling and cheesing. I'm like, y'all know it's true. Like, you go first round a lot of
as many people as can spread the message, I'm good with it. Like, if it's you, if it's me, anyone that can spread the good word, I'm good for it.
I love it. Go ahead. Yeah. Oh, no, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to kind of also hit on a piece of, like, I know a lot of dudes that are in scouting now, and he was saying that character is obviously a big thing, especially when you're dealing with a lot of high school guys. But I want to know, how do you guys go about the character piece? Is it more of like, if a guy can play, you're willing to tolerate his crap, or is there a strict fine line that, like, hey, we ain't accepting those kind of guys? Because you know how it is, man. I've been in that building before, to where sometimes talent gives you a little bit more tolerance for some guys, you know. And I mean, that's just how the beauty of the game goes, because some dudes are super talented. So I just kind of know how y'all going about that, and if character plays a big piece into it.
Yeah, no doubt it does, right? You know, like, this is a modern day where kids have more things and are used to, you know, more things than they ever have before, right? Like, just the introduction of money is, like, a massive factor in, you know, a development. I can't imagine being, you know, that age and having, you know, resources available to me like that. You know, like, I don't know what I would have done. Like, you would hope that you would do the right thing, right? With the values that were instilled in you. But the reality is, like, they're young. Like, we were all young. Like, you don't know what's going to happen there. But, you know, I kind of live by something that was taught to me early on, that, ability sets the floor and character sets the ceiling, right? So, like, there's a lot of talented players out there, but if you are a talented player with good character and you have good coaching and development around you, like, you're going to go anywhere that you want to go, right? And the people that are in this building from a coaching standpoint can do the development. The people that are in this building from a front office standpoint and relationships that we have can get you to where you want to go. So, you know, to me, like, they play hand in hand. Like, you can't be a talented player with no character. Like, you don't have a home here. And you can't be a player that has great character and not enough talent, right? Like, this is Florida. We have to have strict standards in that, right? Like, we're putting together a team that wants to win, right? And, you know, to me, like, they go hand in hand, and I don't want to I don't want to shed light on people out there that don't have both. Like, I think that kind of gets looked over sometimes when there's more available. But like, there's a lot of people out there that have great talent and great character. And mm-hmm. if you have both, like, come to Florida. Like, we're here. We're ready to develop you. And we're ready to, you know, put you into where your dreams are. Like, if that's the NFL, great. We'll get you there. If that's, you know, in business or in life, like, we have great connections that can help you out there too. So, you know, to me, like, don't compromise on your principles. And for us, you know, talent and character are our principles, and they go along with it. So we're not going to compromise on either.
That's a great answer. I've got kind of an inside baseball question for you, and feel free to pass. When you guys are negotiating, and I know that there's a lot into it, there's multiple different parties and stuff. When you guys go into negotiation, who usually is it? Usually the team that starts with the number, or is it usually a player that starts with the number and kind of figures it out? Or and obviously there's a negotiation to anything, but you guys have a number for a select group of players, a position group, or an individual person. What does that negotiation usually look like? Is it usually kind of a drop dead number, or?
Yeah, it's a case by case basis. Yeah. To be candid, you know, I wish I had a great answer for you. That's like this perfect formula to be able to marry the two together. Yeah. But it's case by case. Like, we really want people that want to be at Florida for the right reasons. Right. So, you know, when it gets to that point, we'll have those conversations. And, you know, to me, like, if you don't have a general feel for the market, then we're probably not doing our job in a great way. Okay. Now, like, there's going to be chasms, right? There's going to be differences between it. And like, that's for us to be able to work out. Like, we both need to be great at our job. If someone walks away from a negotiation and, like, you know, neither party feels good about it, but neither party feels bad about it, then okay, we probably did our job.
Yeah, right?
Like, if we both feel good about it, great. If we both feel bad about it, like, if we're on the same page, then we probably did something that we were supposed to. It's when there's an imbalance of, you know, one person feels good and one person doesn't feel good, where you probably haven't done the right job. Right. Either for your team or for your client, but most importantly, like, for the player, right? Like, we want people to be happy here when they're playing. This isn't about, you know, like, lowballing or shortchanging people. Like, when you're here, we want you to be happy in everything that you do. And we understand that that is a component to it. We hope that it's not the most important, most major component to it, but I think we'd all be lying to say that, like, it's not a component, right? So,
sure.
You know, like, when you walk away from a negotiation and, you know, both parties are on the same page, then we probably did a right job. And if the player is happy, then we're happy.
Good deal. Good deal. I want to get into the other side of your job real quick. Data and AI. And I know that obviously AI is moving at a rapid pace right now. And I think a lot of companies and business units like yourself are still trying to figure out data. You're probably still trying to figure out AI, and you're trying to figure out how to marry the two and try to get actionable insights, right? Talk to us a little bit about kind of what you guys are doing in the data and AI world, and kind of how that's helping you guys and being kind of forward thinking and using some of these tools that are out there.
Yeah, I mean, this is where I kind of nerd out a little bit, to be honest. And, you know, to me, like, I was taught early on that, you know, data needs to be a tool in your tool belt. Like, you're not building something singularly with data, but it is an important tool in what you're doing, whether it's, you know, confirmation or disagreement or, you know, insight, like, all that's super important. I think some of the unique things that we do here, and it's probably not unique to football in general, but maybe a little bit to the college game, like, When the season rolls around, we do have an internship program here, you know, with analytics, and, you know, they kind of split time between the personnel department and, you know, working with me, and we do advanced analytics reports on each game. So, you know, going into the specific of that is a little bit of the secret sauce, but
sure, yeah, yeah.
You know, to me, like, that's a super important part of it. You can see anything on tape. You can continue to watch tape, but why not give you something else that can help you, even if it's just one thing that can help aid in what you're doing? That's what's most important. Like, that's why I love the kind of married of the front office stuff and the data stuff, is like, at the end of the day, the job is to give you information and help you put together a team that's going to win. Right. So, you know, we've done a great job in that. Honestly, I'm super proud of, you know, what the analyst department has been here. I've always said, like, one of the things that I'm most proud about in my very short career here so far has been like the ability for people to progress into the jobs that they want to. So we actually had a student that is now going to work for the Washington Commanders in the analytics department. I'm super proud of him. And, you know, it's something that we were able to do with the 33rd team as well. And that will forever be the part to me that, you know, means the most because, you know, I was there, right? Sure. And people were able to help me along the lines too. When it comes to AI, I think the public perception of what AI is might be a little scary. But to me, this might not help the scariness, but it's in and around you at all times, right? So like the reality is it's a word, right? It's kind of a catch-all, but there's a lot of different ways to be able to do it. Like one of the things that we utilize and will continue to utilize in different softwares and programs that we use is computer vision. So what computer vision is essentially you take the frames and you take, you know, the video and you marry it to a frame by frame second. And then the movements within the players into those seconds. Right. So you're able to look at like movement patterns. You're able to look at speed, acceleration. And there's great programs out there that we work with that are helpful in being able to do this. But I think we've utilized it to an extent where maybe we're, you know, kind of pushing these companies to continue to, you know, provide more information for us for it can be more usable for us. So, you know, there's plenty of stuff out there, about like, you know, speeds and acceleration and ability to change direction and things along those lines, but that can be used in different ways, right? Like I love to use it in high school recruiting. I love to use it in transfer portal. And I love to use it when we're doing advanced reports too. To me, it's another layer to be able to add on to what we're doing to either confirm or deny or give some insight, right? Sure. So, you know, computer vision isn't like the common understanding of what AI is, but it is, right? So, right. And then continuing to add ways to do more in that regard too. Like the way I want to continue to use artificial intelligence and continue to use like softwares and programs is just to create more time and ease, right?
Sure.
The finite resource that we all have in football and really everyone in life is like time, right? So the ability to get more of it back is super important. Now you can't compromise on the validity of things. That comes back to the, you know, the data background, like validity will always be the most important. But the ability to create ways and processes to get to those valid statements in a quicker, more effective way is great. And I'm all for it. Anyways that we can continue to do it. Like the NFL has the luxury of having chips into their players, right, in the football. So they wear a chip in their shoulder pads and they have a chip in the ball. And what that's able to give you is, you know, coordinates, right? And what you can derive from coordinates is pretty much anything. So we don't have that luxury in college football yet. I do believe it's coming there sooner rather than later. But where we rest now is the ability to use computer vision to kind of derive some of those metrics that you do get from the chip. So we'll continue to use it. Like there is no pride in authorship of any of this for me. Like if people got ways that we can use like AI or continue to make ourselves more efficient and effective, I'm all for it. There is plenty of people in this building, but there is not plenty of time to be able to do everything. And I'll just continue to work to try to find ways and then, you know, present it. And if that's something that we want to move forward with, then I'm happy with it.
That's awesome. That's a great answer, man. I appreciate that. And, you know, a lot of people ask, I'm just going to pause this interview for a second. A lot of people want Chris Malachowski more involved with like UF athletics. Right. And I had the chance to meet him at the homecoming last year. And he's like super involved in the Hypergator and the analytics department and sports analytics department. I'm like, I don't think you guys realize the access that gives not just football analytics, but athletic, you know, athletics analytics across the board. So it's an incredible tool. It's an incredible resource. Glad you guys are taking advantage of that. And I mean, it sounds, especially with the way that I work in a field for my actual job where I'm very close to kind of data and AI and where that's going. And you brought up a good example of AI just being such a broad word. You can ask 100 people what AI is and they're going to get you 100 different answers. So I appreciate you sharing what you guys did there. Well, Ben, I appreciate your time. today, my friend. Excited to watch you continue to grow in your career and what you've been able to do for the University of Florida. I appreciate Nick for helping set up this interview, man, and wish you guys the best of luck. And I hope you guys enjoy the next couple of weeks, couple of months, or maybe it's a little bit calmer in the office before summer practice and fall starts.
Appreciate it, man. Next time, if I'm lucky enough to do it again, let's make sure Nick doesn't duck me. But, you know, him and I will have a conversation about that. But appreciate your time, guys. You know, again, like, I'm ready to win some football games. I know everyone else is too. So, you know, we'll get to it and appreciate everything you guys do for the university and the fans.
Well, I appreciate that. And I know you guys are winning the offseason. So we're going to try to make we'll hope that you guys do good enough so we don't have John Summerall doing something stupid if we don't make a bowl game this season.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely, Ben. Thank you so much. Yeah. Great interview. Appreciate Ben's time there. Before we move on, Jordan, I got a couple fan questions here. And if you just join, hop in the chat. Let us know a couple of things that you want to talk about. It's just Jordan and I today if you're running a little late. So one time for our friends over at Homefield Apparel, go visit homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale. Get you 20% off of your order and free shipping on your first order with that email address. They've got about 6 pages of cool retro Florida gear. They're always adding new products, subtracting products too, so you don't want to miss out. So again, homefieldapparel.com, promo code Stadium and Gale, all one word, will get you 20% off of your order. Jordan, have a question for you, brother. You need you to brush up on the running back situation. This is from our friend JLB Toronto Blue Jays. Jordan, do you think any of the backup running backs can get any meaningful carries? And if so, who do you think is sticking out to you other than Jaden Baugh?
My honest opinion is, man, I think Clark will be that second guy or kind of that change of pace guy if anybody does get an opportunity to get the ball. But honestly, I just from how well Ball played last year, unless he's on somewhat of like a wear and tear, having some injuries, I see them riding him like a bell cow, and he's probably going to get 20 plus touches a game, 20, in the 25 range, you know what I'm saying? So I honestly don't think it will be any other running back spelling him, but if it was to be one, I think it'll be Clark, just because he put some stuff on tape last year. You can see he's a little bit explosive, and he can catch out the backfield as well. So he brings that third down running back aspect to the game. So I think he'll be the change of pace if anybody, if it was going to be anybody, to be him. But I'll bet my hat that Ball is going to be getting probably 30 carries a game. Like,
dang. I was just going to ask you what you thought like the percentage breakdown would be. So let's just run through that group real quick. Obviously, you have Jaden Baugh. Jaden Baugh's dad actually had a really great quote today. It was in an article. I forgot who wrote it, so my apologies if somebody knows the article. And basically, Jaden Baugh's dad was interviewed and said, you know, there was opportunities for Jaden to go to Texas. And he said, Jaden could go to Texas and have a great year, and it's just going to be a great year. But you stick around at Florida – you have a great year. Now, all of a sudden, people are talking with your name around the same names as like Emmitt Smith and Tim Tebow.
Thank you. Like, he has the opportunity to do something that hasn't been done in over a decade, guys. Like, he's holding on to that. His family knows that. His coaching staff knows that. Everyone around him knows what he has at stake coming up this year with how good of a year he had last year. So that's what I really have from it. I'm like, they would be stupid not to feed him and make him bust some new records and have his name next to a great like Emmitt Smith. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just me. Maybe I'm just being a selfish running back. Would have wanted that for myself. But no, I think he's going to go crazy this year. And I wouldn't be surprised if we get multiple 30 carry games. And especially if we like in the game and he actually has to like get us through it, I won't be surprised. Even all-purpose wise, I don't know how the offense is operating, but I won't be surprised if he's getting a little bubble screen, a little something, just getting him the ball in all kind of ways, not just a simple handoff, because I think this coach is a little bit too complex to just be.
You think he's the center point of the offense next year?
Yeah, I think so, man. I think he'll be the center point, and I think our receivers, just because they're still young, I think they'll be just a complement to his run game, honestly, because I'd rather defense try to focus on trying to stop the run than us just having an air raid, and then I got to rely on the quarterback not to throw 5 interceptions in the game. So,
Man, we tried to get out of John Summerall the other day, like what his thoughts were. He's like, man, I hate talking about quarterback battles. I have to do it every year. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm like, oh, man, it was just wanted to clip it out, brother. This is the running back room, right? So we got Jaden Ball, Duke Clark, saw a redshirt freshman, pardon me, from Tampa. Then you've got the two transfers, Evan Pryor, who came from Ohio State, and London Montgomery, who came from East Carolina. Then you have Anthony Rubio. Byron Lewis is also the redshirt freshman. Him and Duke Clark came in the same class from American Heritage. So that's what the room looks like now. So, Jordan, based on what you're saying, you think somewhere between 20 to 30 carries per game. If you were to break that into a percentage, you probably think Jaden Ball gets, what, 65, 70% of the running back carries, and the rest is kind of split down, like assuming a normal game, right? Like you're playing Campbell, obviously we're going to have completely different numbers, but right. what are your thoughts on
a regular SEC game? I see him in definitely about that 70% range, like high 60-70%. Like we said, I feel like he's chasing records and as well, obviously trying to be in that first round. So they're going to just feed that dude like no other. And I mean, shoot, it's only 60 snaps. The average is like 60 snaps on offense in a game. And if you're getting 30 of them, I mean, if you're getting 30 carries, that's not even counting like the amount of snaps that you're in when it's not even a run play. So I think he'll definitely be one of those guys to where it's definitely going to be like the bell cow and you're going to have to just ride on the ball train.
Yeah, man, I think Duke Clark is number two. But I think that you're going to see a lot more Montgomery and Pryor. I think that that next spot is going to be pretty evenly split up between Pryor, Montgomery, and Clark. And we'll see. And I think towards the end of the season, obviously, those numbers will change. I really like London Montgomery. I love what he did at East Carolina. You know, he originally went to Penn State, transfers to East Carolina, leads the team in rushing last year. Let me see.
I think both of those are studs, man. I watched their tape, but honestly, when I even saw them coming to Florida, I mean, it was a smart move by the staff because, I mean, it is football at the end of the day. Jaden Ball runs really tough. He's not like your little average scat back who's avoiding contact. So it's a possibility he could get hurt. I don't never want it to happen. Yeah. I'm knock on wood. So I know at least we got two solid backups that was starters last year and that could play in this league. So
yeah,
I just think
100%
as a what is the word? If you're trying to like develop a player, that's why I got Duke Clark as two, because if I was on the Florida staff, I know I had two transfers that came in two, but I know I got Duke Clark that's probably just as good as y'all. So let me let him get a little bit more experience. Mm. And if Jaden Ball gets hurt, I let my experienced guys come be a starter and now you can compete for that job. But until then, I want the puppy to be developing if I can. So no shade or knock on those guys, man. I think they're solid guys, but I just think they put themselves in a sticky situation.
Yeah, no, I got you, dude. Yeah, London Montgomery, 737 yards, 7 touchdowns on 157 carries with East Carolina last year. And then let me get Pryor's numbers real quick just so – everybody knows Evan Pryor comes in redshirt senior. This is his last year. He was at Cincinnati last year. You started his career at Ohio State. My apologies. 6 starts last year, played in 10 games, 522 yards. So Jaden Ball starred every game last year. So that's 12. I think he started freshman year a game or two. So you got 12 there. You've got 6 with Pryor, and then you've got 8 with Montgomery. So you've got a lot of potential starts back there. And then Duke Clark, obviously a guy that the last staff was super high on him coming off of an injury, and then coming in and making a huge stance, this past spring. So it'd be great to see what that room looks like and competition is going to just breed the best out of all of them. So room to have. I think that is the room. This is a very, really bold take, Jordan. That is our best room top to bottom.
Yeah, I think so, man. And I actually was, I can hint on that one a little bit because I was at an event, went over there for the spring game. It was at Spurrier's and I got to meet some of the parents and I talked to Byron Lewis's dad and like, crazy enough, he's like, yo, I told him not to leave on purpose. I want him to stay here. He wants to stay here. he wants to prove. He's like, he had to do the same thing in high school. He went to American Heritage. He obviously was a lot of one time. Mark Fletcher was playing over him. So he's like, he's done this before. So he doesn't care that where he's sitting at on the depth chart. He's willing to be a Gator and ride it out and show everybody what he can do. I'm like, you know what? You got to love that. You going old school with it. I was almost thinking you was mad that your son probably stayed, you know, as just being a father and wanting to see your kid play. But I'm glad he's actually just making him go through it and like realize, hey, man, you had a great university. Get your degree. Wait your turn because your opportunity and time is going to come. And the reality is, even on the NFL aspect, too, I even was thinking about this when you mentioned, like, it's whose last year is it? Not Montgomery, the other guy.
Oh, Pryor.
Sorry. As Pryor's last year, I mean, to be honest, he's going to get a training camp invite. He's going to go. You're going to have your chance to prove yourself. Like, it was a walk-on named Mark Herndon. I love my dog. He got an opportunity to go out there and lace him up and play for the Browns. Mark Herndon probably had 6-7 carries in his total career at Florida, through 5 years of being there. Like, and he got an opportunity to lace it up for the Browns in a rookie mini camp and training camp and do his thing. So those guys' careers aren't fully over. They made a great choice of coming here, man. I just hope it all pans out for them, obviously.
Hell yeah. Here's another question from Steven. Dan Jordan, what position group other than offensive line are you most concerned about?
I would say for me, obviously, it's quarterback. But if I was to pick another one outside of quarterback, it'll be defensive back. I know we got some young guys, but to be honest with you, that's about the third to second hardest position on the field when you play defensive back. You're going against the fastest guys, and they know where they're going, and you don't. And you got quarterbacks that can put it. It's just the reality, man. So I think that's my biggest concern outside of quarterback, obviously, because we got a quarterback competition going on. But I'll be just concerned with the DBs, man, just because, like, it's tough. It's tough out here in this league. It's only getting worse and worse with the portal. West Coast receivers coming to the SEC, all type of stuff, and it's just too much speed. So that'd be my position I got the eye on. I know we got great coaches over there as well, but that's my take.
I like that take. Just to kind of run through the defensive backs real quick, just so you guys know names. At star, it's going to be Kanye Clark, the transfer from UCLA. He's going to be your starting star. There at safety, you got Bryce Thornton, Laganza Hayward, Drake Stubbs, Cam Dooley, DJ Coleman, Caden Hall, and Alfonso Allen, big 43 that everybody was jockeying for last year. I would imagine it's going to be Bryce Thornton. Cam Dooley was brought in from Kentucky. He knows the defense well. I don't know if that position is fully solidified right now. You also bring in DJ Coleman Sr. from Baylor. Gators are going to have a lot of new names because you still have Laganza Hayward, who I've heard great things about this spring, and then Drake Stubbs, the former five-star that you also want to see step into that role. So what does that look like? And is it going to be a position that you're playing a bunch of different guys to try to figure out what your back two look like there at the safety position? Because safety position's not been ideal the last couple of years, right. Jordan. And then at cornerback, you have Onis Konanbany, sophomore Javari Flowers. Onis is a redshirt freshman. Javari Flowers, the sophomore, we saw him spell at that DB position quite a bit towards the end of the year. You have the former five-star and Ben Hanks, who we heard good things about. You have CJ Bronow. The rookie, are the freshman, CJ Hester, the freshman, Cormani McClain, Dijon Johnson, two guys that you probably expect to start, but what does that look like after? And I think it's going to probably be Javari Flowers and Ben Hanks as your next two CBs, with maybe Onis, maybe trying to jockey for that third guy off the bench, trying to move up to that second. So you have some names, right? Like, you've got two former five stars. You've got Dijon Johnson in his fourth year, who we've seen, I don't necessarily caught him hot and cold, but maybe like hot and lukewarm at times. You've got to see him, you know, step up into that role. But I think that take is really good, Jordan. I mean, to me, and like, I don't know how important the position is going to be to the offense, like outside of blocking, but like tight end is something that, like, I have no anticipation or expectation about what that position is going to look like. The Gators just did add a former basketball player from Jacksonville University, Jalen Jordan, who participated in spring day, was not drafted or wasn't given a camp invite, still had eligibility left, and then comes over to the University of Florida as a final year player. He played high school football. He has the traits that you're looking for. And we've seen this with, you know, a number of, you know, players going, not a number, I mean, probably three or four players that have gone from playing college basketball to the NFL, but 6'6", 240 pounds, obviously hasn't played football, you know, at least outside of potentially recreationally in 4 years. But you add him to a room of Amir Jackson, who's now on his third year at UF. And so what are we going to see out of Amir? You get Luke Harkbring from Georgia Tech, the transfer over. Lakota Dupree, the transfer from James Madison. He's a redshirt junior. Micah Jones, the redshirt freshman, who was on the staff or on the team last year. And then Evan Chisia from New Haven, a take, you know, kind of came out of left field there. And then Hezzy Kent, your guy, 6'6", 313 pounds. So I think it's going to probably be like Luke Harpring's deal. And then I would imagine Amir Jackson is number two, but like, man, I don't know what to expect out of the
tight end. I try to peep it out at the spring game, honestly, but you know, they're not going to show much. It was just very basic stuff, but yeah, I feel you. I'm not really too sure how they will be used in this offense or if they would honestly be used at all. Like, I'm not saying it's going to be like totally abandoned, but it could happen like that, you know. Obviously, we're going to need it for, like, some of the bigger sets, like goal line sets and stuff like that or whatever, if we're just trying to run some short yardage stuff. And even that, I mean, I think he'll be able to still kind of run short yardage formations but out of lighter personnel, so we still got speed. Yeah. I don't know. That's just kind of how I got from him, how he was at Tech. Obviously, you got to play with what you got, right? So I think he realizes now how many Lamborghinis he has going out there. So he's not about to bring out the Ford trucks again. I don't think we have enough to hear of that, fellas. So I don't know. Don't let Tupac trick y'all into saying, well, Jordan said it. No, I don't know. I don't know anything.
This is just Jordan's thoughts, not Jordan's insider knowledge. Brandon Connell. Good thing we won't have to run 12 personnel 80% of the time. Yeah, I don't, you know. Again, don't totally know what the offense is going to look like completely. We'll find out in, you know, 4 months. But yeah, that's the position group. And it's like, not that I don't think that there's like talent, but again, I don't know how well the position, like what the position is going to be asked to do. Obviously, they're going to be on the field. I don't know what they're going to be asked to do. But like, I don't know. Like, you're not returning a lot. You're not like your potential starters. Your like top two guys are a redshirt sophomore, are two redshirt sophomores that like have never been starters
before. Yeah, but I say they are improving. So why would you waste your time on that? But it's like,
I'm sorry. Luke Harkbring had one start last year. My apologies.
So sorry.
yeah, my bad. I mean, no offense. And none of this is like offensive towards that. Like, I hope they ball out and show out. But that's the position group that like I have like the biggest question mark going into next season. And maybe it won't matter as much, right? Because you got your Ferraris. But like, it matters enough to answer your question. But offensive line is probably where I'm most concerned.
Sure.
John Summerall seemed less concerned like when we talked to him, but I'm not going to be concerned in like 3 years, though, Jordan. I'll tell you that much.
That's what I'm really feeling like. I ain't not to say I'm not too mad about this year. Like, I hope we do well. But, like, the future feels really nice right now that I'm actually kind of happy, you know what I'm saying? Because it's been a while since we've had something good to look forward to. Let me not say it's been a while. I think last year we all had high hopes. But
the roster. Remember how much Nick was lying last year?
Oh, my God. I was lying my butt off, too, bro. I was funny when I was doing the Jags thing last year. We all did like predictions on like what our old like teams would like do for the season. That had us going like 10-3 or something like that. Or so stupid.
Everybody did, dude. I think I was 10-2, and I was like, yeah, like I don't think we'll win the SEC or the SEC championship, but like we're gonna be a fringe playoff team.
That was
we were not.
Yeah. Playoff team last
year. Let's see what else we got, Jordan. Anybody else have any questions? Let us know. But again, like what you can look forward to this week, and we'll wrap here without any other questions, is like you've got four, potentially five players that the Gators are heavily in the mix for at big positions of need. And I think that the Gators probably land at a minimum two, probably three, potentially four of those guys this week. And I think it's going to start early tomorrow on Tuesday and kind of carry through the week. So right now, Gators ranked seventh in the recruiting rankings. I think that that number is going to rise over the next couple of days. And Gators added seven commits in April and wouldn't be surprised if they had a similar number here in May. So looking forward to that. It's an exciting time. Jordan, you got anything else before we wrap?
No, I don't think so, man. I think we're all good. I know we light today, y'all boys. I'm sorry about that, but we're going to get it together.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. We got Nick out for the month. He's doing the Florida Victoria stuff. Corey will be back next week. But if you miss Corey, you miss Nick, like we have four episodes last week where you can hear them. So, but man, I appreciate you, Jordan. Thanks for showing up. Appreciate Ben Elsner for joining us as well. That was a great interview. Cool inside look into the football operations side of things. But before we leave, one time for our friends over at Alumni Hall, go visit alumnihall.com or go visit them in Gainesville right on Archer Road next to the big Chick-fil-A, not the smaller Chick-fil-A that's literally across the street from the other one. So go visit
Alumni Hall.
Do they have five Chick-fil-A drive-thrus within 300 feet of each other? It's incredible. And they're both probably just pumping out,
you know it,
millions and millions and millions of dollars a year. So go visit alumnihall.com, largest selection of Florida Gator apparel in the entire city of Gainesville and online. Anything that you could ever want, from golf polos to golf balls to golf tees to gifts for your grandma or grandpa, or maybe a third generation Gator in your family, anything in between, go visit alumnihall.com. And Jordan, we'll see you at the same corner, same time next week.
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Appreciate everybody. If you're watching, hit the like button, hit the retweet button, hit the subscribe button, do all that. Show some love in the comments. We appreciate you guys for watching. We'll see you next week at Stadium Gale.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.